Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What's it like to work with over 83,000 churches and leaders from 45 nations to reach millions of youth in a global broadcast that is focused on the message of Jesus? Jesus and his love for young people of the world. Ron Luce joins us today to tell us of the impact of the event that included world boxing champion Manny Pacquiao, Stephen Baldwin, and Nick Vujicic. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to lead you, dear friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know that God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched and transformed and moved powerfully by his Spirit through the life of Ron Luce, is calling out to you, reaching out to you. And you say, Danny, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't even know where I am right now in my life. But God does. God knows all things, and he knows you and loves you, and he calls you to himself, even in your situation. There's resurrection hope for you, my friend. Ron Luce is founder of, he's been the founder of Teen Mania Ministries, and as host of Acquire the Fire Conference, speaking to 3 million young people in 60 nations. He launched Generation Next in 2016. And is the co-chairman and director of Jesus Global Youth Day. We'll talk about that. And the author of the book Faith at the Speed of Light, Riding the Crest of the Wave of Change Instead of Being Crushed. Ron, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you, Danny.
Ron, change. Change is occurring at an exponential rate. What are some of the changes that you see on the horizon, and how will they affect today's youth?
Well, this book is really a culmination of my doctoral studies in strategic foresight. That's the future of where things are going. And so let me just kind of paint a picture real quick. You can tell a glimpse of how fast things are changing by how much knowledge is increasing. So what's happening right now that's never happened before is knowledge in every sector is doubling every year. That is, everything we know about medicine is doubling in a year. Everything about nanotechnology, everything about space, it's all doubling every year. And as a result of that, that knowledge gets digitized, it converges, there's all kinds of innovation, business models, technologies, blockchain, all kinds of things that are kind of unfurling, AI, virtual reality, augmented reality. And so What the experts are saying is the next 20 years is going to be like the Industrial Revolution that took 80 years, all crushed into 20 years. That's how much change is going to happen. It'll fundamentally be different to live as a human on the earth. And so our youth are the ones that are going to get swept up. Now, if there's a parent listening, they're already thinking, well, my kids are already swept up in social media and the internet, you know, oxygen and everything for them. Well, you've not seen anything yet compared to what is about to happen. And so the whole reason I wrote the book is to help us as believers to prepare for this. How does this inform our faith? How do we make sure our faith is deep? As leaders, how do we lead congregation and churches to make sure that we don't crushed by all these changes, but actually we surf the wave of change, we thrive in the middle of it, and we learn how to make disciples and become better disciples along the way.
So it's a compelling, fascinating, relevant book. This is your doctoral studies. Are you doing this at Regent or
Regent University?
Regent University. Correct. Okay.
Yeah, just finished it up. Yeah.
Doctorate in strategic foresight, and here he's making it available. I mean, Ron, this must have been so compelling to you to delve into this research.
Well, it's overwhelming in that, you know, it all that's about happened, you know, and we kind of, we hear glimpses of it. It almost sounds like sci-fi, you know, these, you know, robots or AI or, you know, there's all kinds of the realistic possibility of our brains being connected full time to the cloud, to the internet. And what does that do spiritually? What about, you know, augmenting our, you know, the CRISPR, augmenting genes? I mean, there's a lot of moral issues that are connected to this. And so it's intriguing. It can be a little scary. It doesn't have to be, though, if we're informed, if we're prepared. And, you know, many people weren't prepared just for the internet when it kind of came up. There's still churches struggling to get a website. And, you know, but if we're not prepared for this change, it could set us back, you know, a century in terms of our relevancy, our being able to leverage these tools that are being developed real time right now. Some are to help mankind, some are just to make money, things like that. But figure out how we can leverage them as Christians, as lead ministry, to spread the gospel rather than let these things become addictive like most entertainment kinds of things are. You know, who would have thought social media would be addictive, but we can see that it is. And but we can be prepared for this. It's intriguing, but it's a time for us. The urgency in our own heart needs to rise up to be prepared for it. So that's the book. Very practical. A lot of case studies of churches and ministries around the world that are doing really well at reaching and discipling young people in the middle of this tidal wave of change that just we're at the beginning of right now.
You're listening to Ron Luce. Ron's new book, Faith at the Speed of Light, Riding the Crest of the Wave of Change Instead of Being Crushed. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the book, Faith at the Speed of Light. But let's take a little sidestep here. Ron, tell us a little bit about immersion mission projects. What are immersion mission projects, and why are they important?
Well, for many years, over three decades, we took youth from all over North America, all around the world, and giving them a chance to, you know, love the people of other nations, share the gospel with them, share the love of Jesus, and kind of immerse them in the cultures and taste it, feel it, and appreciate the cultures around the world. And so we found that these are some of the most life-changing things young people can do. So we've taken over 80,000 youth to some, 60 different nations over the years.
Mm-hmm. This is quite striking, Ron, from the standpoint of parenting, pastors, leaders. Why is it becoming more and more difficult for pastors and leaders to reach young people today?
Well, that's a loaded question. It's not just pastors in America, but it's pastors all over the world. We have a youth culture now that is sort of all invasive, and it's shaping, you know, giving them value. So we think, oh, it's just programs or social media or it's just music, but it's imparting all these values. And many of the leading thinkers are sensing that this generation more than ever get their values from entertainment, from instruction at church or instruction from their parents. It's a cool artist or a television program, something they like, movies that they like, and or video games that they're following, and they get values as a result. And so we've got, like never before, all this white noise that is just clouding, you know, all the ads that they receive mind. And so here we are as parents, as pastors, trying to give them the message of life that will change them forever. And I'm afraid it sounds like Charlie Brown school teacher or something, or like nothing, because there's so much noise they can't hear the message of life. And so it's not impossible, but it's important for us as parents, as leaders, to help figure out how can we silence that noise long enough, pull them away from it long enough so they can hear the whisper of God in their heart.
Well, maybe you can give us a bit of a whisper as well, Ron, in relation to Jesus Global Youth Day, with all this white noise, as you say, what happened at Jesus Global Youth Day? What's the vision? What took place there in the Philippines? And did it only stay in the Philippines, or did it go much further than that?
Well, the live event was 3 days in the Philippines, and we had people show up live from 30 different nations, and we had about 50,000 people come to the event, and it was just amazing. We had there from Africa, from India, from Latin America, from China. We had speakers from all the different continents as well, and then some of the guests that you mentioned earlier. And then the final day, in addition to the live event, we had 500 locations all over the Philippines that were doing their own Jesus Global Youth Day celebrations. And then the final day, we broadcast it to 83,000 different locations, host sites, and churches all around the world in some 45 different nations that we know of. That it got translated to many different languages. So for the first time ever, youth around the world were all connected, churches filled with youth, many coming to the Lord. So we're still getting reports now of the effect that that's had, but nothing had ever been tried like this before, where we could really unite the youth of the world who love Jesus under just one banner.
Uniting the youth of the world who love Jesus, yeah, under one banner. You're listening to Ron Luce. Ron is the co-founder of Jesus Global Youth Day, and he's sharing about a new book that's been released here, Faith at the Speed of Light. When we come back, more from Ron. When I think about Ron, I think about Jesus Global Youth Day. I also think about relevance. Was Jesus relevant? Was Jesus a man of his times? Would we as Christ followers be people of our times? Have believers been people of their times through the years? I believe Jesus set the example. Ron carries the torch of Jesus, and he's sharing more with us. Yes, he'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Ron Luce. Well, Ron is aware that Christians not only want to be, but truly need to be on the cutting edge. To do that, we must learn to survive and thrive in a world that is changing exponentially. More change is coming, and Ron believes we have everything we need to surf the wave of change. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a. Thank you for joining us today. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment. Hey, look, you can get this program in its entirety. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get this program as a free podcast. As we typically say, go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. You might be asking, Danny, how do I get in touch with Ron? How do I find out more about him, his ministry, Jesus Global Youth Day, his books? Well, go to JesusGlobalYouthDay.com. JesusGlobalYouthDay.com. Ron, might be asking, because they might not know that this is actually part two with Ron Luce. Might be saying, hey, we didn't hear where he grew up, who influenced him most in his growing up years. Well, just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Ron Luce. Type in Ron Luce, and you'll have part one and part two. We're doing part two today. Ron, why do you feel the Lord? How did you get the idea in your studies there at Regent University, your doctoral studies, to do this faith at the speed of, or what has become faith at the speed of light?
Well, strategic foresight is a science that's been developed that many Fortune 500 companies use to help them plan for the next 20, 30, 50 years. And it sort of looks at what are all the mega trends, the macro trends, and then how might that influence their company or their industry? And they plan various contingency plans based on what the most important factors that could affect their company. And so as I begin to learn about this and learn about all the changes, I begin to think deeply, because I've been working with church leaders, bishops, leaders of denominations in different nations all around the world for many years, thinking, is anybody really applying this to the church? How are all these changes going to affect the church? And usually, we know that the church is usually the last to adapt, you know, and there's a lot of data that says, even like, for example, Fortune 500 companies, 60% of them in the next 20 years are going to go out of business because they won't be able to keep up with the change. And, you know, these are all different business models. We see other businesses that are sprouting up from nothing, things like Uber and Airbnb that become billion-dollar companies in such a short amount of time. And how do we apply the changes and the principles, the changes that are coming, the principles that some of these new exponential companies are using to the church to become stronger Christians, how we lead, how do we leverage technology to disciple people, to help people grow in their faith. And so it sort of was a convergence of all of this. When part of the data that kind of showed itself as we were doing the research is a trend that's not just in America but all around the world that I call the graying of the church. It's getting older and older all around the world, and the average age of Christians compared to other religions. And it's indicative that the church by and large is not doing a very good job at reaching the younger generation. So because the younger generation is going to be most impacted by all these changes, and because the heritage of our faith is at stake here, we thought, well, let's converge these two macro trends, the changes that are coming in technology and in the world, because knowledge is doubling every year, and the macro trend of the grain of the church, and let's look at the future through that lens of those two macro trends, and let's think through what could we do to make sure the church is ready and the individuals are ready. And so there we have it, faith at the speed of light.
Bold, isn't he, Lani?
Yeah.
I think, Ron, it takes a lot of courage to not just think big thoughts. I think that might even sound cliche. Mm-hmm. You're going into realms where Not many have thought. I mean, you're treading on or thinking on and imagining and also researching in areas that we need someone to represent us to go in and find out, and not just for the body of Christ, but for society in general, much broader in terms of your reach. So, Ron, kudos to you on the guts that it took and the stick-to-itiveness, and it's so obvious that God has given you divine insight and wisdom in this anatomy of
authenticity. Well, I thank God for that. If I could just say that, it's very kind for you to say those things, but what I'm really most concerned about is that the churches and leaders and parents that are listening get prepared, and the book is really a tool to do that. And so it's really a book of hope. We found 8 to 10 different incredible leaders around the world that are really exponentially effective at reaching and discipling the younger generation and blasting through all the changes and the noise that's clouding the minds of this generation. So I just really want people to have the hope and have practical examples of what can really be done instead of going, oh, no, what's going to happen? No, a lot of times thinking about how do I reach my own kids, how do I reach the kids in my community, it sounds like it's a mystery. It's like splitting the atom. Has it ever been done? It's an urban legend. How do we reach you? Well, no, there are people that are really doing it well. It's time to stop fooling around. Let's learn from each other. And you see the case studies presented in the book that really paint a picture of hope that, hey, if they can do it, then I can do it.
You talk about the case studies. Share with us maybe a few of the names that you've alluded to. Who are some of these leaders?
Well, there's a pastor in Bogota named Pastor Andrew Corson. So he has a church of 40,000 people, 60% of which are under 25 years old. They're all in small groups. Like 88% of them are in small groups. They're being discipled, and they're making disciples. And so, but he's not young and cool. He's like about almost 60 years old, and so we have this myth that if you're going to be effective at reaching young people, you have to have a tattoo and, piercings and things like that. And I like to use the example, the guy that runs Viacom, that owns MTV, he's not young and he's not cool. He's an old guy that's just smart, and his job is to figure out how to get eyeballs watching his networks. And so that's the job of the pastor and the bishops and the leaders, to be the strategy person. How do we get the younger generation to at least fully get a good hearing of the gospel and capture their heart with the gospel? The guy that runs MTV, he hires cool people to be on the TV and all that, but he's the strategist. That's the role of the pastor, to be that strategist. And so Andrew Corson is just one of those examples of there's examples in Philippines, examples in Singapore, in California. And so around the world, there are these guys that have, many of them don't even know each other, but they have very similar principles on how they go after, capture the heart, and then begin discipling them when they're very young, and then making them leaders when they're young so that they can disciple others.
I can see, it's like I'm listening to you and I'm watching your mind ticking. It's just fascinating for somebody, for me, listening to you. And I've always felt that the church, the structure, could learn a lot from corporate America, from those who have been doing business models and different things. And what I see is that you have embraced that, but you've also embraced the idea that God is larger than any corporate model, obviously. So how, as a youth pastor, as a church, wanting exactly what you're describing, where do they start? What do you suggest?
Well, great question. First of all, I think the big difference is that the businesses today in the kind of the new economy, the new rollout of all the innovation, are thinking in an exponential way rather than linear. Linear is, hey, maybe we'll grow 5 to 10% next year. Mm-hmm. Exponential is we want to multiply by 10 next year. Mm-hmm. And that's how the church ought to think. That's how the pastors ought to think. The youth pastor ought to think. And in fact, that's how the church began in the very beginning when Jesus left. He says, you all go make disciples. They were all to be multipliers. And they thought exponentially, not linearly. And so in 300 years, they took over the Roman Empire, the whole known world. they couldn't have done that unless they were exponentially thinking. I think one of our challenges as the churches, we've kind of slipped into linear thinking. Well, we'll just kind of do what we're doing, add a few people each year. That's linear thinking. It's not exponential thinking. Yeah. Yeah. And so some of the things is really paradigm shift, the way we think about the ministry that we're doing. Are we making disciple makers? Or are we just making churchgoers kind of a thing?
Yeah.
One pastor that's a case study in the book said he'd grown his church to a 1,700 people, and they were all just Sunday morning Christians. He goes, Ron, do you know how challenging, how hard it is to pastor 1,000 babies? And I thought, oh my gosh, this is what we've created, a culture of a lot of baby Christians that go to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so I think we start with the end in mind. What are we really trying? Are we getting people to come on Wednesday nights for youth or Friday night or on Sunday morning? Is that our goal, or is our goal to create some strength in their faith so that they are confident enough to share it and disciple others?
Mm. Ron, when we come back from our break, I'd like to follow up on that in light of the book, Faith at the Speed of Light, and talk about the anatomy of authenticity in relationship with Jesus. If you could take us further and sort of see how this ties in. You must have experienced some surprising things along the way in your research that may have, took you back, so to speak, than what you might have hypothesized. I'd love to hear some of that as well. You're listening to Ron Luce. Ron is the author of the new book, Faith at the Speed of Light, and you can find out more about him and his ministry at JesusGlobalYouthDay.com. Again, JesusGlobalYouthDay.com. The anatomy of authenticity. I'm also wanting to know about some best practices, sort of like Lonnie, what you mentioned and what he mentioned. We're talking about Philippines, Colombia. These are case studies that exist in the book, Faith at the Speed of Light. And today we're privileged to have Ron Luce, the author, with us today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Inward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Gordon Robertson, CEO of the Christian Broadcasting Network, says the best way to predict the future of your church is to invent it. In Faith at the Speed of Light, Ron Luce gives you the blueprint for how to experience real growth in an age of incredible change. Ron Luce and his book, Faith at the Speed of Light. Check out JesusGlobalYouthDay.com. Ron, the anatomy of authenticity, what is that, and what is that in relationship with Jesus?
Well, I put a whole section in the book about being authentic in our faith. With all the fake things that are out there with the new technology, for example, we have 1,000 friends on Facebook, but we feel lonely. There's a lot of data that shows the more people, the time they spend online, the more lonely they are. So they're fake friends. You know, they're fake poses on Instagram, fake Snapchat, as far as how happy I look. And there's this false sense of, I've got to compete against how happy they are. And I'm not that happy. I'm not that cute. I'm not, it's this false sense of my life is just perfect. And so then you've got AIs and fake bots and people that are pretending that they're human or you're not really sure if they are. And so the more technology tends to run our world and dominate our world and dominate, you know, how we get things done conveniently, the more important it is for us to be authentic in our faith, that we're not just going to a church, believing something that our parents told us to believe, that the pastor told us to believe, just because we're supposed to believe it, because that's what Christians do. But to really be authentic and digging down and having, you know, we as Christians, use so many cliches and words that sound spiritual, but they're empty to us in terms of authenticity. I'll give you an example. We say you need to have a relationship with Jesus, or you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And we have put on that little spiritual sounding voice and everything. But in reality, if I were to introduce you to a friend and I said, "This is my friend Jim, with whom I have a personal relationship," people would be going, "What's wrong with you? Why are you talking like that? You don't talk like that." If you're close, or if I introduce you to my wife, I've been married for 35 years. It's my wife, Katie, with whom I have a personal relationship. You would be thinking, "Well, I hope so. You've been married for 35 years." And so, but we usually put on Jesus and spiritual things that don't really make sense. We don't really talk normally. And it's almost like we're overemphasizing something because it's not really there. Like if a guy's trying too hard to say how close he is with his wife, it's probably indicative he's not very close. And so I feel like sometimes we use the right words, need to have a personal relationship, but we actually don't have the essence of it. We're not actually very close. And so I take several chapters and dive into how do we make sure that we have an authentic relationship that's growing and thriving rather than simply just verbs or verbiage that we use that are Christian cliches. And that, what are the roadmap, what's the roadmap and the road signs that we actually have an authentic relationship that's growing and getting more and more personal, and that it's a conscious relationship. It's not sort of I think sometimes we have a sort of a semi or an unconscious relationship with God. Like we know, like, he bought me with his blood and I'm his child, and I guess I have a relationship, but we don't really sense him. We don't really hear him. And it's sort of like a relationship we have sometimes with our pet, where, you know, we know that our dog loves us, and they come running to the door and they dance around and they're happy. But it's not a conscious relationship, because, you know, you can't ask your dog to do your taxes, and your dog can't give you counsel in any problems that you have. It's a one-sided relationship. And I'm afraid sometimes that's how our relationship with the Lord looks. It's kind of one-sided. We sense that he's close and we get happy and we dance around, maybe at a worship service, and we feel a goosebump and that's great. We might hear a whisper, "Oh, that's awesome," you know, and then we stay right there. Rather than, no, he wants to have a dialogue. He wants to have an intimate relationship. He wants to share his heart. He wants to hear our heart and really walk down the path towards real intimacy in relationships. So when I talk about authentic faith and the anatomy of authenticity, I kind of break it apart. What does it take to have authenticity in the midst of a world full of fakeness.
Mm. Such a good reminder, I think. I remember, you remind me, my mom would always say, and her favorite thing to say to me is, Lonnie, if you have to tell them who you are, you're not. And I would say that to myself all the time. And her whole point was, live who you are. And then if you have to tell them anything more, then you really aren't doing your job. And I think that is authenticity. And yet, in our leadership, in our churches, in our leadership in all realms, we take the cues from them. You know, if our leadership is authentic, if we feel the freedom to be authentic, which is not easy, it takes courage. What kind of best practices have you been able to learn from some of the leaders that you've worked with in building the authenticity you're talking about?
Well, first of all, there are several principles that these guys are using all around the world that, as I mentioned, some of them, people think, well, of course, why wouldn't we have thought of that already? First of all is, instead of trying, and when you're reaching young people, to catch kids that don't want to get caught, and that's what a lot of youth ministry is. They're 16, 17, 18. They got their cool car, and they get independence, and they're having their fun. The best practices are going after the 13 and 14-year-olds. These are the people all around the world that are most likely to come to Christ. Mm. Of course, we know that almost all studies show that most people come to Christ before they're 20, 90% of the people. But the lower you get, like closer you get to 13, the more likely they are. And so at 13, there's a lot of these churches that are best practices. They go after the 13-year-olds. This is not going after 13-year-olds that come to your church. This is not just about the going after the youth who belong to the parents that go to your church. This is going after every 13-year-old in town and, you know, making it really hard for them to not hear the gospel, whether that's teaching friends how to invite them and so forth. So number one, going after them at 13. Another best practice, very important, is making it sticky. What I mean by that is when they hear the gospel, once they come to Christ, you make a systemic approach, a system, so that they start growing in their faith, and it is so sticky, it's hard to get out. It's hard to get unstuck. That is, they're in small groups and they're having fun and they're growing in their faith and they're learning how to share and pray with each other, cry with each other, and forgive each other. You have to do that with real friends. You don't have to do that with Facebook friends. You just block them. And they're learning to do life. Another best practice is by the time they're 15, you start making them leaders of other small groups. So now they're in a group, but they're also leading a group and discipling others. This is really key, because if they continue to do that all the way through their teenage years into their college years, then they've been teaching and discipling. Their roots are way down deep. They've been doing it for 6-7 years. It's going to be really hard for them to fall away. And so these are just a few of the best practices. These guys that are doing exponentially well at reaching and discipling, this is what they're doing.
Did you travel to these different countries, Ron? How did you?
Oh yeah.
You stand to talk a little bit about some of your research method.
Yeah. So in the last few years, I've been to probably 50 countries, met with leaders from 100 countries, having very frank discussions about what's really happening with the youth in your nation, and what's going well, what's not going so well, and what I heard over and over again was that the Western culture from America is infecting the youth of almost every nation in terms of, you know, the music. Our music is penetrating there, Hollywood, all of this. In fact, many said, I've got so many letters and emails that, you know, hey, can you come help us reach our youth? We see you reaching youth in America, but, you know, our young people are listening to your music, watching your Hollywood. They're more like your culture than our culture. We don't know what to do to reach them anymore. And so we have a kind of a global youth culture. And so, for example, you might find kids in Africa, and when you think of Africa, you think, oh, the tribal whatever. But the younger ones they've all got phones. They're all on social media. They're all it's a global tribe, as it were, all around the world. They don't want to do the things that their adult parents do in terms of the tribal traditions and things like this. So for the first time, we've got this global culture, and it's frustrating for people that are giving their life to the ministry. And you know, America used to be known for, let's send good news around the world. Now we're more known for sending poison around the world, making it harder for them to reach the young people. And so it's been actually a breath of fresh air stumbling across a number of these best practices in these different obscure places around the world, like where they may not be famous people, but they've got amazing work going on there, and that is worthy of duplication and learning from. Take those principles that they have and then apply them to our own culture, our own city, town, the DNA of our ministry, and apply those back home.
You're explaining about how, well, as you explain about this, what's going on around the world and what's being sent out, let's say, from America, which once was good news. I mean, we're speaking in broad terms here. These are in silos, obviously, but now bad news, but certainly affecting cultures. Ron, when we come back in our final segment, I do want to ask a couple questions that may sound a little bit rhetorical or maybe even contradictory, because we've been talking so much about Jesus Global Youth Day. But since you've traveled all over the world, since you've taken young people thousands and thousands around the world, and you're reaching millions around the world, your global perspective from this with regard to this question about Christianity, is Christianity dying? That's one that I'd like to hear what you have to say. The other would be the idea of a post-Christian era. That creeps up from time to time, and maybe some of the cultural and social implications that go along with that in relation to this post-Christian era. Maybe you can explain what that even is. You're listening to Ron Luce, Ron Scholar, evangelist, a lover of youth. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, we're here with Ron Luce. Ron Luce is a well-written author, a scholar, really a man of vision for our youth, for generations to come, trying to light a beacon and alert the body of faith as to what's coming so that we can be better prepared. The word always says, if there is a plan, if there is none, the people perish. And so, first and foremost, Ron, thank you for investing. And I'm sure your sacrifice was great in order to alert and help the church reach the next generation, the younger generation. I've loved so much of what you say. It's all found in your book, Faith at the Speed of Light. And I'm sure that it will bless and enlighten many pastor and those of the faith that are trying to engage a generation that's pretty engaged on a screen right now for the most part.
Yeah.
But in the larger context, Ron, you have traveled, you have met with thousands of leadership people, and you know, there's this sense sometimes that Christianity is dying and that we might be moving into a post-Christian era. I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Well, the data, let me just give you a couple of studies that, kind of are vector points for us to think about. First of all, the data says Pew Research has done a lot of, they do a lot of religious research, and not just about Christianity, but other religions around the world. They say that, but the trends as they are right now, by 2050, it'll be the first time in the history of the world that there'll be more Muslims in the world than Christians. That includes all Catholics and Orthodox and Protestants. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody, every believer listening needs to just take a deep breath. What does a world look like in 2050 that's dominated by Islam? Does it look like Syria? Does the whole world look like Syria? and so this is huge. The median age of Christians around the world is 30. Median age of Muslims right now is 23. So you can see median means half of all Muslims are under 23, half are older than 23, versus Christians, half are all under 30, half are over 30. Think about childbearing years and so forth. So that's why by 2050, this is what's going to happen. If we end up there, we do end up in a post-Christian world. However, I feel in my heart these next 10 years are vital for us as followers of Christ, and leaders, parents that are listening, because we can change this trend. The next 10 years, this is why we did the book right now. I actually wanted to take a whole nother year, but it felt like we've got to get the word out right now. We have 10 years to kind of change the trajectory, look at these best practices around the world, and begin to reach the younger generation like other generations of Christians have always reached the younger generation, or we wouldn't be where we are at. You know, what happened in the Dark Ages is that did not happen, and we don't want to slip back into that. And so our opportunity here is the next 10 years is to what I call grow our church young. That is, I'm encouraging every pastor and church leader to mark what is the average age in your church right now, from 13 and up, all of your attendees, what's their average age? And then start monitoring that each year, growing it young. That is, reaching more people, but get the average age down and get it as close as we can to age 23. In fact, we've just launched a worldwide kind of affinity network of pastors that are wanting to do this called One in a Million. We'll give a million churches, a million leaders that would join this and start growing their church young and to learn from each other and learn from these best practices and others that try this, and they might fail, they might succeed, but let's learn from each other just like businesses do so that we can get on with the job of reaching the next generation of followers of Christ.
When you hear that, Lonnie, as we listen to Ron, what strikes you most?
Well, first and foremost, the Lord God is my Savior and victorious and sovereign. That's the first thing that I say to myself, because the statements that you make are not they're shocking. Mm. It's a pause that I hope that many more people. And you know, when you talked earlier, Ron, about noise, You know, I've always looked at noise. The increase of noise in our life is just amazing, and is distracting us. And so, getting our youth to back away from the sheer amount of noise and not be such a consumer of noise is so very critical. And the church, I think, sometimes might add to the noise. And understanding that they're just one voice among a lot more than it's ever had before, or that our kids have ever had before. And when you talk about reaching our youth and making, you know, changing those numbers, that is an amazing, and I want to wrap my mind around it, and I want to help in any way that I can, because that is key. That is key for our churches. I'm with churches that are, the average age is well above 50 right now. And when you say 23 for Muslims and 30, we're not even near that.
Ron, when you were doing your research, I imagine you had some idea of you know, where you were heading, something that you were looking to find evidence for. But were you surprised by anything in your findings?
Well, I was surprised with some of the numbers that I shared with you, just that we've known for a long time that we haven't been reaching the young generation in America. But to start unfurling the average age of Christians all around the world was pretty shocked. But then I was also shocked by hope, honestly, by some of these best practices that I've mentioned and others that are so exponentially impacting the younger generation that it's like the Bible, the Book of Acts, living right in front of you. You just can't believe it's happening. And so that inspired me so much with hope that this is not impossible, and it's not something done in another time, in another dimension. It's being done right now all around the world. And there's a lot of hours, you know, thousands of hours every week given to ministry in terms of pastors and leaders and preachers and stuff. If we just use those hours that we're already giving in a little bit different way to impact more of the younger generation who are most likely to reach, be reached. Like, for example, one of the things, just a simple principle when I say this, it first it strikes Christians a little bit wacky. So in businesses, you know, if you're selling chips or shoes, they think about who are their best customers, who's the most likely to buy their shoe, and that's who they really advertise to. They can't advertise to everybody because some people will cost way too much money to advertise to get them to buy a shoe. So they go after the most likely customer. But as Christians, what we do, we think, well, Jesus loves everybody, so let's just go after everybody, and we end up not getting the people who are most likely to come to Christ, that is 13 and 14-year-olds. And so by taking money and efforts that we're already using, spending somehow, and focusing on the people most likely to come to Christ, we'll see a lot more come. And then when we think of all the programs we do, thinking about all the energy we use to make sure that it's a very sticky program in terms of it's life-giving, we're measuring the right things. Too often, the only thing we measure is Sunday morning, how many people come, and what are the offerings. But like, what if we measured spiritual strength and fruit of the Spirit, and have they won anybody to Christ? Are they making people disciples? Like, we have, and because, you know, the axiom, whatever gets measured gets done. Are we measuring the right things to make sure we're getting the thing that we really intend to get?
In Faith at the Speed of Light, Ron presents this in thorough fashion. And I think this is being released now. It's a book that certainly will change the thoughts and the way thoughts are formed, and the way that thoughts begin to shape the future. A key book, Faith at the Speed of Light. You can find out more about Ron and his book, his ministry that reaches millions around the world, JesusGlobalYouthDay.com. Ron, we've got a couple minutes, a parting shot, something you'd like to leave our dear listeners right now.
Well, we have this is probably the most exciting moment in the history of the world to live. With all the changes that are at our fingertips, the opportunity for us to impact so many people. For example, you know, you could be a kid in a bedroom and make a video on your phone and reach a billion people. What other generation has ever been able to do that? And if we think about how we can leverage all of these changes to spread the good news, to the message of life, you may not be a musician, you may not be an author, but you could do something. We're all called to be influencers for Christ and seize the day to leverage all the exponential changes like the business people are doing for the sake of making money and making businesses. Let's do it for the name of Christ, to make his name great, and for the sake of his kingdom and for the sake of souls that he gave his life for. This is our opportunity. We live in the greatest time in the history of the world. Let's seize it. And at the end of time, we'll be found that we rode the crest of the wave of change and we didn't get crushed by it. And as a result, many people were rescued from this horrible storm that really is pounding the earth right now.
Words of hope from Ron Luce. Ron, in the midst of the statistics, some of the forecasts, you stand as a beacon of hope and faith in the Lord, empowered by God's Spirit, that things can change. They don't have to live up to these predictions of numbers. And you've given some practical and grounded in research, practical things that can be done, not only here, wherever someone is, let's say in America, but all over the world. So, dear brother, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done.
Thank you, Danny, Lonnie.
And for what the Lord is going to be doing in and through you in the days to come. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. God bless you. Aloha.
God bless.
Compelling words from Ron Luce, JesusGlobalYouthDay.com. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, we believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. Got a special presentation for you there. Help us with your financial support to make a donation. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. 1 Corinthians 9:22, I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Ron Luce. Again, JesusGlobalYouthDay.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Lonnie Ka'a, technical producer Chaz Ontai, web designer Arlen Nagata, and guest coordinator Suzanne Maurer, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.